Let's go to 3 John 1:1. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hi, Randy. How you doing? Good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 3 John. Now, this is what we're doing. Well, let me just read through here, and we'll get on the path. And you're going to have to look straight ahead and hold on to your seat today, okay? Mm-hmm. Oh, the kids are having fun. 3 John 1:1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walketh in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So what we're doing is we're talking about the prosperous soul. This is part three. And being rooted in truth is what gives you a prosperous soul, according to what you read in the context here. It's not just he wishes or he prays that we would prosper. It's that he sees that they're able to prosper, or Gaius is able to prosper, because he's got the truth rooted in him, and he's rooted in the truth. Okay. So what we're doing is we're reaching for three things in 2023, personally for you and on a church level. And those three things are healthy relationships, health, and prosperity. Financial success and success, just in every area. Whatever it is you're called to do, that you'd have success in it. Whatever relationships, you'd have success in them. So that takes in a lot. And so we're going to work on that. Now, tonight, I had intended to try to go through all three of them every time we're together. But I dug myself into a hole while I was studying. Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so we're going to start with healthy relationships. We're going to talk about that. And now the interesting thing about this is that the first and foremost important relationship that you have is with God. It's above everything else. It doesn't take away. It adds to. It adds to your marriage. It adds to your children. It adds to your relationship with your pastor, your friends, your boss. It covers everything. And so we'll talk about that. But in any relationship, you're going to have to let God lead you to the truth about yourself. And so sometimes you get a couple of owies, right? And the thing I love about you all, see if I can build you up a little before I'm kidding, is that you're ready to take it. I can't tell you how many of you have said to me, just put it out there. I want it. Just put it out there. So I'm going to endeavor to give you some thoughts that you can chew on and you can talk to the Lord about yourself. So let's go there. So now on Sunday morning, there was a number of people who were delivered from a spirit of rejection. You remember that? Mm-hmm. At the end of the service, we had an altar call. People came up, and that spirit, that oppression coming from the outside, they were delivered from it. Now we're going to work on your soul part. You're thinking about this. So I'm going to give you some information that will help you sturdy things up in your life. And it's probably not going to all be new to you. Particularly some of you, I know it won't be, but I think it'll help you. So we're going to work on your soul for a few minutes, mine as well. Now, in dealing with mental and emotional disturbances, there's one trait that shows up more than anything else. Okay? You want to know what it is? It's the impaired ability to give or receive love. It shows up when there's a lot of turmoil in the soul, or maybe you're not even aware of it. It shows up that you're impaired to give and receive love. So that's something you want to think about. And this usually is traceable back to a person's childhood. And, it's usually traceable back to the parents of that person. So it would trace back to your childhood and then to your parents who probably felt the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, just if we're just going to talk turkey, hurt people hurt people. Yeah. Rejected people reject people. And so believe it or not, there's a way out of that. And it's not as hard as you think, and I'm going to show it to you. It's actually, if you'll just do it like we do everything else here, you're going to find out it's pretty easy. But I want to bring the situations to life. So if you go, I think that might be me. Now don't be out there going, that's my wife, all right. Yeah, I mean, look at your own self.
Yeah.
Amen. So take care of that. And so what we see in people's lives is, although there may be some kind of love in the home, and I realize there are homes that have very little, but even for those that had the best daddies and the best mamas and the best aunts and uncles and grandpas and grandmas and teachers or whatever, even in those homes, a child can sense some degree of overt or covert rejection. Now, overt rejection says this. I don't even know why you were born. It's just cold. It's just, get away. Y'all get, I don't even, you know, it's that kind of stuff. Just get away from me. I can't stand you. You know, I wish you weren't even here. It's that kind of feeling that the child is picking up. Okay. Covert rejection happens when maybe a parent may not even be involved. For example, well, they're involved in this way, the death of a parent. A child could perceive that as rejection, that their parent leaves them early. Y'all get that? And then covert rejection is also what we would call, overprotection. So you don't let little, just make a little Foxy. I'll use a little Foxy because nobody in here has that name. well, if I say a name, then everybody's going to go, that's my little Jimmy. No. So if you call your wife Foxy, sorry. But so you protect them from everything. No, here, let me do it. No, let me do it. No, you can't do that. Let me do it. So then they perceive what? They are rejected because they perceive that they're inadequate.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want me to try. Well, they don't think I can do it. Well, they don't think they can trust me. Well, they don't think. And so here's another form of rejection. So you've got these two things like, get on out of here. I don't know why we ever had you. You know, that kind of stuff. No attention at all. No attention. Or the other extreme of you can't, here, I need to, you can't do it. Okay. Covert rejection. So are y'all with me so far?
Yep.
So consequently, those are symptoms which, follow what we're going to call the rejection syndrome. There's a rejection syndrome. There are spirits that will line up with you if you're dealing with rejection. There's about five of them. We're not going to talk about them tonight. But then there's just this syndrome that goes on with people where, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times, you've probably said it, rejection begets rejection. There are actually people who will reject you before you reject them because they don't want to get rejected. So they're not going to get close to you. Okay. Y'all know some of this stuff, but we do need to pull it out because we're going to have the greatest relationships in the county. Okay. So, when people grow up with this covert rejection, they don't feel like they're an adequate person. They don't feel like things are good for them. And so they have no rational manner in which to cope with that sense of inadequacy. And so it sets them on a trail of this emotional conflict or this neurotic behavior. And let's don't feel yucky about neurotic behavior. Everybody's had some. Okay. So you're like, not me. Well, we'll see. So There are a lot of reasons why people reject their children. But the basic and the ultimate reason is one word. You ready? Selfishness. And it's not necessarily that they mean to be that way, but they just don't realize that self is in the center of their life. And so they'll reject people. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, let's face it, children interfere with your self-centeredness. Right? We interfered with our parents' self-centeredness. Yeah, y'all go outside, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, you know, there are times when, yeah, I'll leave it alone. Praise the Lord. Y'all know what I mean. There's a little bit deeper to that. So things like that happen on certain levels. And so what happens is you start thinking about, well, let me say this first, just to clear the air here. Before you start thinking about how you don't reject your children or how your parents rejected you, just stop. Okay. Don't go there. We're not going there. Because it has happened to all of us on some level, or we've perceived that it happened to us. Yeah. Sometimes by the time you're 6 or 7 years old, you've already built so many filters that everything that comes toward you, you take it a certain way. That's just the truth. Sometimes a little older. Everybody has their filters. Everybody sees from a certain perception. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this interesting enough?
Oh, yeah.
Good, because I'm not changing it. Okay. Now, Danny said, I said, I don't remember saying it. She said Sunday that I said, what did I say? Don't come ask me because I'll tell you the truth. So here we go. I'm telling you the truth. But this stuff is real. This stuff is happening in people's lives. So, and rejection, it can come in the form of many things. So outright saying you are unwanted, we didn't want you, to actually someone could feel it when they were in the womb. Okay. You could tell when you were a baby or when you were in the womb that, you weren't planned, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I wish you'd never been born. But then there's the Cold War. It's quiet. You know, the Cold War, no expression of affection, just nothing. It's just no affection's going to be shown. There's nothing there. It's just, I've turned your water off. Leave me alone. Why are y'all so quiet? No amens on this? Okay. So you're going to have to help me a little bit, Margaret. Come on. So let me say this to you. Many people busy themselves with work because they dislike themselves so much that they try to compensate by doing what they call good works in whatever area. People can even serve in the church so much just to try to compensate. I'll just do good. I'll just do good. I'll just do good. Well, we know the reason to serve in the church is because you love God, not because you're trying to prove something. But a lot of people stay so busy in their life because they're compensating for the reason, because they feel inadequate. And so they're trying to make up for that. Praise the Lord. And then some people will buy acceptance from other people. If I do this, if I do this, if I do this, they're going to love me. Right? You've seen that. And then some people put such a high expectancy on their children that if their children fail or fall short of anything, they just go to pieces. And they go to pieces and then they take it out on their kids and then the kids feel inadequate. And so it all boils all over and doesn't work. All of these things that I'm mentioning just come out of a rejection syndrome. Yeah. Amen. Thank y'all. Appreciate that. So, have you ever seen the syndrome? You've probably seen a Hallmark movie about this maybe, but the person just stays at work all the time.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. They don't feel they do a good job at home. So they just stay at work all the time. So we could go over a whole lot of scenarios, but I'll leave those some more for later. Here's the bottom line, though. If you've experienced rejection, you get the feeling that you're unwanted. When you feel unwanted, you get the feeling that you're unworthy. If you feel you're unworthy, you feel inferior. When you feel inferior, you feel like you're a burden, and then you want to just apologize for living. I'm sorry. See that? And so, I mean, you're just trying to stay alive, right? Yeah, you know, whether you're a mother or whether you're a brother, you're staying alive. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, 70s people got that one. Okay. All right, so, but you just want to apologize that you're even here. That's how some people feel, church. Okay. And to you, like, well, why do they feel that way? We love them. And it might be imaginary, but it's what they're filtering. It's what they're seeing. That's why it's not very good to speculate about people, because you weren't raised where they were raised. You don't know how they're filtering things.
Right.
You can go, well, why do you think so-and-so is just so quiet? And I don't know. But when you start trying to figure it out, that doesn't do any good, and it doesn't help anybody. You spend hours trying to figure out why someone's the way they are. Speculative imagination, you might as well just forget about that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Andrew and Nancy, for teaching us that.
Amen.
So, but then what you have there is, yeah, these people, it's very real to them. They're guarded. They're defensive. All their interpersonal relationships, they're not very close. They just kind of keep people at bay. I'll just let you in so far. And church, I'm not saying 100 people are going to be your close friends.
Right.
You're probably going to have about 5 close friends. You're probably going to have about 2 intimate friends, maybe 3. And you need to watch your circles, absolutely. But we all need to work on not living in a cold war with people, not just shutting people out, not just using that. I mean, all husbands hate this. What's the matter, honey?
Nothing.
They don't want to hear it. Well, some of them are probably like, yeah, good, I'm going. but it's not really the answer. Amen. It'd just be easier to say, you know what, I just don't feel good right now, or let me talk to you about it in just a little while, but everything's okay. You just make some kind of comment instead of nothing. Okay, you guys can all give me $5 later for that. Okay. I'm kidding. So, but a lot of times when people are dealing with this, they'll say yes when they mean no. They'll block things. They'll try to set up different scenarios, situations, it's not working. And so they'll put on fronts, but they reject themselves. They condemn themselves all their life. Now, listen to this, and I wrote this down. I want to make sure I give it to you right. All their lives, decisions must be made from a stance of weakness, which prevents them entering into relationships or vocations that will maximize their potential, since they feel they have little potential. So that person avoids who they really could be. Man, there's a Holy Ghost place right here. They avoid who they really could be. Well, we're not doing that.
Amen.
You're going to be who God called you to be. We're going to do that. And we'll have to work on these things, because you're like, well, I think I'm being who I'm called to be. Well, let's just talk about that in just a moment. So, we're talking about the Christian who's maybe emotionally or mentally unstable. So they're forced to look for answers. Okay? I mean, that's where I came up. I was forced to look for answers because I was just a case. You know? I wanted to find out truth because I needed the help. As a Christian, I needed the help.
Yeah.
Which led me to travel to Denver, Colorado to go to a school to learn about rejection and how to counsel people and things like that. And I'm glad I did. But the well-adjusted, fleshly Christian has more of a devastating problem than actually the other person, because he or she doesn't realize they have a problem.
There you go.
Yeah. Womp, womp. I know, you know, maybe someone in this room was going, I'm sure I'm glad that's not me. I'm pretty well adjusted. And now I just let the air out of your balloon. Because as well adjusted as you are, so what happens with well adjusted people who are talented, people will look at them and decide they're leaders. But they're doing it out of the power of their soul. And so they pick you and they make you a leader, and then you do more damage than you would do if you had come up and gotten out of that rejection syndrome like the neurotic person did. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's better to go ahead and hit this and self-examine in grace where we really are in life. How are your emotions affecting you? What do you do with your emotions? Are they your teacher, or are they just help you make decisions? Because if they're just helping you make decisions, you're making them out of the wrong thing. You need to make them out of the truth of the Word of God and your will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Are y'all still here?
Yeah.
So, you know, people that seem well-adjusted and work out of the strength of their soul, people put a label on them. Well, they're mature Christians. But it might be good to look a little deeper, because maybe they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because they're operating out of the strength of self. Now, what we see is that because of this person's love for the Lord and lack of neurotic behavior, it's permitting them unhindered to use that soul strength. You see what I'm saying? And nobody sees that and says anything or does anything. But Holy Spirit is going after all of us. Amen. And so we're going to answer him. We're going to hear it. All right. Now, what I want to do is, let me mention one more thing and then we're going to walk through the rest of this. Pride. We'll spend some time on pride in the future. As you know, the scripture says it comes before the fall. Pride works on both levels. We were talking about that today. It works for those who feel like they're victims. Nobody loves me. And it also works with those who are trying to prove that there's somebody. Look how good I did this. I'm so good at this. I'm so wonderful. It works on that level, and it works on all the areas in between. There, pride works on a lot of levels. Pride will actually self-medicate. You're like, oh, I think I'll go home now. Just stay. You're going to feel better in a minute. Pride will try to help itself. That's what it does. Well, I can do this. Well, see, that's what Israel said to Moses. Just tell God to give us the list. We'll take those 10 things. We can do them. But they didn't. So we'll talk about pride soon. I won't tell you when, so make sure you'll come to church. But listen, whether you feel like you're just a mess, inferior mess, or you think you're awesome, you are still encountering a self-life every day. I'm going to get to the part that you're really going to like here in just a minute, I promise. So I'm going to give you a rundown of it. In fact, I think I'll just start right now. Let's just walk through this. Now, stay with me so you get the whole picture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Adam died to God. He was living with God, but when he met the enemy and he was, he wasn't deceived, she was deceived. But when he fell, right, he died to God. and what we call the old man. Mm-hmm. Stay with me and you'll get it. Actually came into existence. He died to God and came awake to Satan and sin. That's what happened to him. But then when Jesus came and you received Jesus, you died to Satan and sin and you came alive to God. Now that's where you are right now. I'm trying to distinguish them for you. So hang in there with me. What you also did right there is, you died. The old man died. Remember I said, he started living to the old man. We're calling him the old man because that's what the scripture calls him. Okay. So when you got born again, so you switched. So the old man needed to die to Satan and sin, and the spirit needed to come alive to be regenerated to God, right? And so you know this stuff. This is not new to you. And then, what happened was when he died, he became servant to sin. Did he?
Yes.
Did Adam become servant to sin?
Yes.
Y'all hear?
Yes.
Okay. But when you got born, and everybody after him, all of his seed, every generation was born dead. You know what I mean by that. Their spirit was dead. They had that old man. Okay. But then when you got born again, the old man died and you were new on the inside. You're like, well, Pastor, we know this. Wait a minute. I'm trying to show you something. So here you are now. The old man's dead. Sounds like a song. And God gave you freedom over sin, whether you avail yourself to it or not. What we're looking at here is distinguishing something. We have to distinguish the difference. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. In fact, there might be something I might not have wanted to skip here. Let me see. Yeah. Let me go back. I almost missed something here. I want you to listen to this scripture. You were servant to sin, but now you're a servant to righteousness. That's who you are, right? Stay with me. I'm gonna give you the clincher here in just a second. I just want to make sure it's laid out. Old man is dead, is a dead spirit. Now, Adam died spiritually because of sin and became a servant of sin. You were born again. You became a servant of righteousness. But in redemption, the old man is crucified with Christ and can become a servant of obedience and righteousness. Okay? Stay with me. Here's Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? So, When you start thinking about how you were born again and how the old man died and everything, it kind of looks like, well, it should be impossible to sin. However, scripturally and experience wise, we know that's not true. You've sinned since you've been born again. A lot. We won't go there. We just did, honey. But what we need to understand is that we can attribute the works of the flesh to the saved and the unsaved. The works of the flesh. Yes. What I'm trying to tell you is there's an old man, but there's the works of the flesh. There's the flesh. The old man is dead. Your spirit's perfect.
Yep.
It's sunshining in there every day. But the flesh still has the propensity to sin. And you still have the ability to sin. So where you're not an old sinner saved by grace because old man's dead, you still can sin.
Yeah.
Or broaden the picture, because I know when I say sin, you're thinking smoking, drinking, cussing, adultery, chewing people out, stealing, all those lying, all those things. Just put self right there. Living for self. In other words, let me get plain here. You're in the relationship for what you can get. Okay? That's not what you're doing. Well, what's in it for me? Well, why do I want to go to that church over there? What are they going to do for me? Instead of even thinking about, could I be a help to them? Could I add my anointing to them? See? Can I do something in this relationship? What can I give to this relationship that will make it work better? Are you with me? So just broaden that. It's so that sin, that flesh, that self, you can still have it in the middle of your soul. Your old man is gone. You are perfect with God. But in this world, you're not. This is the way we used to say it. You're saved, but your soul isn't. It's being saved. Okay. But I needed to make that, to distinguish that so that you could actually see that there's something you have to do with the flesh. The old man is gone. You don't have to deal with that anymore. You were crucified with Christ. You were buried with Christ. You were resurrected with Christ when you went into eternity. But the truth is that soul place is still trying to give you trouble, and the devil's helping it. Okay. I think y'all get that, so I'm gonna move forward on it. So, we've used this word a lot. We'll start coming down the home path now. You know the word appropriate? Not appropriate, but you're going to appropriate something. You're going to put something in place. You're going to get on that path. You're going to do this. We use that word a lot. This is what we would be doing. You'd be confessing. You'd be using your faith. You'd be decreeing. You'd be declaring. All these things are appropriating, right? I decree in the name of Jesus that there will be no tragedy. Or how about this? I plead the blood. I come to the courts of heaven and plead the blood. What are we doing? We're not pleading the blood for some strange reason. Right? We're declaring that the blood of Jesus has already been poured out for us, has already been sprinkled on the mercy seat. And so there's nothing between us and God. We're good. We're appropriating the blood. You got it? Okay. So when it comes to all this junk that you're dealing with, all the rejection junk or all the emotions or whatever you feel inferior about or whatever just hasn't worked, there's a real easy solution, and it's in the Bible. And it's easier than you think. Okay? So here's the keys to get out of neurosis, to get out of pride, to get out of the rejection syndrome that keeps driving you. I'm going to give you the keys, and it's found there in Romans 6. You ready? 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Do you see what the scripture's saying? You did this. When you got saved, you did this. Okay. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism and death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of the resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So you're not a slave to sin. You're not. Okay. For he who has died Say died. Has been set free from sin, or has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. And it has no dominion over you either. For death that he died to sin once for all. So he covered it. Well, no, he canceled it. He canceled it. Okay. So, but the life that he lives to God. So Jesus lives his life to God. We should live our lives to God. Now here's your scripture. This is Romans 6:11. If you will go here when you need to go here, you're going to, can I just talk Texan? You'll just knock that thing in the head. Okay? Okay. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God. Are you hearing that word present? Yeah. Appropriate to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of the righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are no longer under the law, but under grace. Now, back up to verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. That word reckon is count it, count that. This is how I'm going to count it. I'm going to estimate it. I'm going to conclude it. I'm going to appropriate this. I'm going to set this into place. That I reckon myself dead to the flesh. Mm-hmm. That confession right there will stop the syndrome. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Tell me if you're not, we'll start over. We got all night. Like, no, we get it. You see what I'm saying? This, you, it ain't I reckon, it ain't I reckon. That's exactly what I don't want to say. Well, I reckon I'll be there. Well, you are saying it right, but this is even stronger. You are saying, this is the place I put myself. I am saying that I am dead to the rejection syndrome, to sin, to backbiting, to having self in the center. No self in the center. Because that's the problem. I should have brought my diagram, but we'll do it next week. Your spirit, your soul, and you have your body. Your soul's sitting in your spirit. Your spirit's great, but your soul needs attention. And when your soul gets messed up, your body stresses and reacts. Mm-hmm. This is what everybody in the world knows this now. Mm-hmm. And so, and you also tend to have bad relationships when you continue down this path. So if you feel inferior, or you feel rejected, or we could put a number of words right there of how you feel, and you let them sit in your soul, and you live your life thinking that you're inadequate, or you live your life thinking you're no good, or that something you did in the past has ruined you forever, or something someone did to you in the past has ruined you forever, you're going to be in the rejection syndrome all your life. So, let me ask you something. If you were dead today, and I walked up and cussed you out, would it hurt your feelings? Why not? Because you're dead. I just have to get blunt. We only got 20 minutes left. A little less. But you see what I'm saying? Dead people don't respond to the junk. Are you with me? I reckon myself dead to the, not reckon yourself dead. Reckon yourself dead to the flesh. The old man's already dead. You're the righteousness of God. But interacting every day with people, every acting, let's just say this, with yourself. Deal with yourself. If you're a victim, you need to deal with yourself. If you're on the other side of that, if you're Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful, you still need to deal with yourself. But this scripture that I just gave you, if you will practice this, you're going to start having a good marriage. You're going to start having a good relationship with your boss. I'm telling you, people go to marriage counseling for years. And what do they sit down and tell them to do? Let's talk about what you don't like about her and what she done. That's not going to get you anywhere. That is not the way, church. You're not going to fix it in 100 years unless you do one thing and put your flesh out of the center of your life. And it hurts. It does not feel good. Particularly when someone's ranting and raving in your face there. Ranting and raving, raving and raving. Okay, yeah, sounds good. Okay. It's when they're cold to you, or when they say something ugly to you, or when they do this or do that, or and it strikes across your emotions and your soul because you got rejected at some point in your life, and that keeps coming up, and you need to find out why that keeps coming up. Use it as a school. Why did that make me mad? Why did that make me coil back? Why did that insult me so badly? Probably pride. Y'all still love me? This is good for us. You reckon yourself dead to sin. You reckon yourself dead to reacting from and living in rejection. No, I'm not responding to that. It'll work. Well, you know, my feelings have been hurt for 6 or 7 years now. My wife, she just doesn't love me like I need her to. Or vice versa. My husband, or whatever. My friend, whatever it is. My boss treats me really bad. First of all, hurt people hurt people. Pray for people. Second of all, learn your part. See, if you even thought this, I'm going to make sure my family comes to church to hear this. You're already losing. It's about you. It's about you waking up. It's about you being brutally honest with yourself and saying, you know what? I felt like that. When they corrected me, pastor corrected me, and it made me mad. She ain't the boss of me. You might want to go talk to the Holy Ghost about that.
That's right.
Why does correction make you mad? It doesn't feel good, but have you really thought through it? It's there to help. God said he corrects those that he loves. And if the pastor does that and they're wrong, then all you got to do is sow to the Spirit and the pastor will get corrected. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll pray about that. And then move forward. You see what I'm saying? I think we try so many things to get over things. Well, me and so-and-so aren't getting along. I've been mad at them for years. Well, we need to think about that. We need to think about that. Because nothing's going to change unless you change. Unforgiveness is like taking poison and hoping someone else will die. Just living in rejection. How long are you going to live in rejection? Because God loves you. Because you're accepted in the beloved. Because you are someone that God respects and said you were so worthy that he sent his only son to be beaten, ridiculed, whipped, and hung on a horrible death on the cross. And you would sit here and say that God doesn't love you and people don't love you. It doesn't matter if not one person loves you. Jesus is that person that loves you. And you could start right there and start building something good. Right there. Jesus loves me. Well, I reckon myself dead of the flesh. A dead person can't feel that insult. A dead person can't be mad. I said this to you 1,000 times. I'm going to say it again. It is none of my business whether you love me. It's my business to love you. That is one of the greatest things that ever touched my heart that I ever learned is that I do not have to try to figure out how to get you to love me. I love you. I love you dearly, but I can't make you love me. But what I can do is sow to the Spirit. When I sow to the Spirit, I love you in spite of me and you. You see that? And you do it and it's not just an emotion. You will say somewhere, maybe not in that person's face, but you may have to walk away and go, you know what? I reckon myself dead to my flesh. That hurt my feelings, but Lord, the church, let me tell you something. You can't heal your feelings. He does it. He heals your feelings. Well, I wish he'd hurry up. Appropriate this and he'll do it. You got to say something. This is faith. You got to say something. You got to say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to be honest with myself and I'm stepping into this right now. And I'm going to right now, the old man is dead, so I'm good there. But I'm taking this soul and I am putting you in the center of my life. This is one of the things that helped me more than anything else in my life is to learn this stuff. And if you really want to know the truth, I believe this is the way to counsel people. Not what's with, well, we can do this and we can just say, you take the blame, you look at yourself, you minister to other people and sow to the Spirit and God will change the heart of the other person. It's happened over and over and over, church. Instead of people clashing, well, we still haven't worked it out because I'm this way and I have this personality and they have this personality. Welcome to the world. 100 people in here with 100 different personalities, 100 different thoughts. We're not going to think the same about everything, but we can walk in the love of God. And you don't have to like everybody to love them. God doesn't even like everybody, but he loves them. Now, he loves me and likes me. But some of y'all, no. Somebody's emailing me right now. It's Eric Holler. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anyway, this is where we are, church. If we start right here and make a plumb line, when we get to 2024, we're going to have heaven on earth in this place. And you're going to have heaven on earth at your home. And, you know, you may say right now, we've been at this for a while and we're doing it pretty good. But it can always get better. And here's the good news. You're not learning this just for yourself. This you can minister to other people. You can say, let's go over and look at Romans 6. Let me help you with this. Your old man died, but you still have, you're able to sin. You're able to, let's work on this. Make this confession. And you start, now here's the last thing I want to say. Notice that you didn't do this with your feelings. You use something else in your soul. It's called your will. We call it your chooser. You take your chooser and you say, I will do this. I reckon myself dead to the flesh. The flesh meaning not this. The flesh meaning that you're only depending on the 5 senses. You're only depending on the out. You're only depending on what so-and-so said to you. But you're not. You're dead to all that. You're depending on what Jesus said about you. And he said in the scripture in the New Testament that you're accepted in the beloved. So what's the scripture you're going to confess? There you go. Romans 6:11. But you have to use your chooser. This is not something I know a lot of people, I'm a grace person. I'm a faith person and I'm a grace person, but you're going to have to open your mouth and you're going to have to look at yourself in the mirror. You're going to have to say something. Now, You go, well, this is all well and good, but I don't care about this. Me and Mama, we got it going on. We're doing all right. It can always get better. Why not be the best you can be for your relationships and the best you can be for Jesus? Because that's how we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done by the love of God. And the best counsel that you can get in the whole wide world about relationships is the Bible. And the Bible says, get yourself in the right place. Sow to the Spirit. And if you sow to the flesh, what does it say? You'll reap the flesh. That's kind of like I'll knock your lights out and they're going to knock yours back out, right? I'm just trying to give an example that puts it out there really quick. You smart off to me, I'll smart back. That's sowing to the flesh. Well, I said it was red. It's white. It's red. It's white. It's red. It's white. Somebody has to stop. Somebody has to say, fine, it's red. And then you walk away and go, it's white. No, no, I'm kidding. Just kidding. Why is it so hard to take the blame? Anybody know the answer? It's one word. That, oh, class, you passed the test. It's, what difference does it make in love? What difference does it, well, I said it was like this. Oh Lord, okay. Here's my last statement. Stop trying to convince everyone around you that your way is the best. Your stuff is the best. You know the best. Everything about what you do is the best. That is nothing but pride and shows how inferior a person can be when they have to prove and they go over it and go over it and go over it to convince you that their socks are better than your socks. You cannot beat these. Danny agrees. Did y'all see him? The people on camera. Okay. You can't see? Now my socks are better. What do you have on?
I got good socks.
You do?
Yes.
They're better than mine?
Oh yeah.
Let me see. Cabela socks. I have 8 pair. See, this is what they do. You think those are good? I have 8 pair of moose socks. You see me doing it?
Yeah, yeah.
I have a moose on the wall.
You have a moose on the wall? I saw a big moose in Colorado.
I spoke it into existence.
You spoke it into existence? Now I'm going to have to get you with this one. You gave me a moose to put on the wall. But we both have one. See, we both reckoned ourselves dead and came out okay. That moose is dead too. I love live ones. But you see where I'm going? The pride thing needs to go. I'll fix it. I'll fix it. Let me crunch numbers all night long. Let me try to figure it out. I'll fix it. Or I'm going to lay here till I figure out what I'm going to say to them. And when I get it done, I'm going to go and I'm going to say it. Yeah. I can't wait till I see them. Hey. That kind of stuff. Or you got to think of an excuse. You don't have to think of an excuse. You don't have to. Well, no excuse. I missed it. Jesus loves you. People will forgive you. If they won't, then they need to reckon themselves dead to the flesh. Amen. Y'all receive this?
Yes, ma'am.
Romans 6:11. I reckon myself. I take myself out of the center and I put Christ in the center. Not that you put your wife in the center. Not that you put your husband in the center. Not that you put pastor in the center. You put Christ in the center. And when you put Christ in the center, then husband's going to get happy. Wife's going to get happy. Pastor's going to get happy. The dogs are going to get happy. The cats never will. All right, Ronnie, I reckon myself dead to cat hate. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing on it. Lord, we choose. We choose with our chooser to love. We choose not to be the big middle of our lives. We choose what this word said. We reckon ourselves dead to the flesh, to just judging out of the five senses and reacting out of our emotions and reacting out of pride and reacting and living in a rejection syndrome that just goes round and round. We are not inferior. We are worthy because Jesus made us worthy. And I thank you, Lord, that we can live and produce a positive atmosphere around ourselves that will bless people, that will bless our families, bless each and every one of us. We can live in that, Lord, and we choose that today in Jesus' name.